Part 7, has the stage been set for the return of the archons? What has been will be again, right? We see that. Solomon says that. Have the watchers been released? We saw in Enoch chapter 10, verse 12, and when their sons have slain one another and they have seen the destruction of their beloved ones, bind them fast for 70 generations in the valleys of the earth till the day of their judgment. Well, Psalm 90 defines a generation as 70 years, 80 if by strength, but let's just go with 70 for kicks and grins here. 70 times 70 is 4,900 years. We go 4,900 years away from 3,000 BC, and we end up at 1,900 AD. Interesting. Go back in time, look at that, 3,000 BC and all the timeline I showed you before. Go forward, 4,900 years, and we think about knowledge and technology and transportation and stuff. Think about it. It's been like horse and buggy and beasts of burden for 5,000 years, and all of a sudden, planes, trains, automobiles supposedly going to the moon, sending probes out into space and all this stuff, computers, all this kind of stuff, like in a very short period of time. Abortion. One of the fallen angels, Kazdaja, specifically taught the art of killing the baby in the womb. You could go through the book of Enoch and read what the watchers taught men to do and watch the evening news, and it's a perfect parallel. Seems to me something happened at the end of the 1800s, the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, going into the 1900s. Very likely could be that their prison sentence is up. Then you got characters like this in the beginning of the 1900s. Aleister Crowley, in January through March of 1918, famed occultist Aleister Crowley began a series of magical experiments called the Amalantra Workings, in which he is said to have opened a portal to another dimension, allowing an entity, a demon, I believe, named Lamb, to enter through it. This is the drawing he did in 1918 of the entity, curiously similar to what we call alien grays today in pop culture. He had a number of disciples, one of his famous ones, Jack Parsons, did the Babylon working. Supposedly, Crowley's portal was further enlarged by Jet Propulsion Laboratory founder and rocket fuel scientist Jack Parsons and Scientology and Dianetics founder L. Ron Hubbard in March of 1946 at a location that later became known as Area 51. Their experiment was called the Babylon working. Like the Amalantra working, it was based on ceremonial sex magic. Unlike Crowley, however, they were not as adept at opening and closing portals, and theirs apparently stayed open, and the modern UFO era began 1 year later in 1947, the same year Crowley died. Is it just a coincidence that right around the same time, a boy throws a rock into a cave, hears a jar crack, and out pops the Dead Sea Scrolls and a whole lot of ancient texts that just so happened to tell us exactly what's going on? I don't think so. I don't think that's a coincidence. By the way, if you read the book of Enoch, chapter 1, the first thing it says is this book is not written for this generation, but for a remote future generation that will live in the day of tribulation. That's Enoch chapter 1. It tells you this book is not for that time, but it's for our time. And people want to throw out the book of Enoch. I'm like, this is laying out the whole game plan here to help us understand what's happening all around us. No, it's a valuable resource. Part 8, has the stage been set for the return of the Nephilim? Well, the days of Jared were marked by the mating of angels and humans. However, it was in the days of Noah that the creation of animal-human hybrids brought about the corruption of all flesh we read about in Genesis 6:12, which ultimately led to God's judgment with the flood. There we're seeing the repeat, not of angels mating with women, as it was in the days of Jared, but rather the recreation of animal-human hybrids exactly as it was in the days of Noah. How many of you guys have been seeing that? More and more, this is happening. Well, let's go back to where we started. We see the promise of the serpent there in Genesis chapter 3. It says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You got a couple of three promises there of the serpent: immortality, eyes being opened, knowledge, ye shall be as the god. But it was Professor Nick Bostrom. He's a world-renowned transhumanist, and he's talking about, you know, why he's doing what he's doing. I'm really interested in this whole transhumanist thing, blending species, and he gives the exact same three promises in the exact order.
What I'm really interested in is to try to understand the bigger picture for humanity, our place in the world, and what might lie in store for our species in the future, particularly the way we might use technologies to enhance ourselves, or to go beyond what we currently think of as our human nature, whether it might be by radically extending the human lifespan through solving the problem of aging, or increasing our intellectual capacities, improving our memory, or taking control of our own emotional states. I think that we are right now in a transitional phase where before the end of this century we will either have gone extinct, or we will have most likely taken the step to become what you might call transhumans or posthumans, or just very enhanced humans that have reached their full potential.
The same three promises in the same order that the serpent gave. Why are they doing this? Well, he's got this chart on his website right there, and he says, when it comes to sensory perception, what we can see, hear, taste, touch, smell, that circle, the little pink circle like there in the lower right corner, that's what we're capable of. He says, animals have a wider spectrum of senses. You know, you got like the sonar of a dolphin, the radar of a bat, different things, you know, the capabilities animals have that we don't have. He said, well, you know, if we could blend animals and humans together, then we might get like that orange oval there that would be accessible to transhumans. You know, we could be like Wolverine and Spider-Man and the Hulk and all that stuff, right? Very appealing. And if we keep working on it, that's what could happen to post-humans. Well, let's just keep tinkering until we are like the gods. That's what they're saying. And it's not just blending of species, animals and reptiles and fish and all that stuff. They're also talking about the corruption of all flesh through cloning and merging with technology. The Borg of Star Trek, you know. Human cloning is closer than you think. 2045, the year man becomes immortal. Go to 2045.com, 2045.com. Read the strategic social initiative that they have on their website. Watch the videos. Their plan is to achieve immortality, we would say parenthetically, apart from God, by 2045. And they've listed a whole bunch of milestones that they're trying to achieve. And so far, they're pretty close to on target. We're living in some interesting days. The days ahead are going to be quite interesting.